Microphone's on. Michelle Mark. Okay, I'd like to call this meeting of the Cotuit Fire District's Water Department, Water Board of Water Commissioners to order. It's 6 o'clock on Wednesday, June 20th. All three commissioners, along with the superintendent, are present, and the office manager is in the audience, along with Amy and Cindy. The first order of business of the first meeting after the district meeting is to elect a new chairperson. At the end of last month's meeting, I threw out an idea that because this year is going to be my last year, it'll be Ted's second year?
Yep.
Tom,
I'm sorry. There was a brain fart there.
No.
In Mark's first year, just threw out the possibility that if Tom wanted to be the chairperson to have some experience while I'm here, he should consider it as a possibility. I'd be happy with anything that he wanted to do. And we've had a month to think about it. It's not that I don't want to do it. I just wanted to. Didn't want to dump it on someone's hand a year from now.
Right. Well, and I appreciate that. I'm not sure what benefit that would be for me. I kind of follow your lead anyways in terms of the progress of the meetings. I'm not quite sure also what the additional responsibilities of the chairperson are. So maybe I'd like to hear that before we move on that.
Well, you're going to get a whole lot of emails that you don't get now. You have to turn the phones off. There is a lot of communication that goes on. I end up going down to the water department probably at least twice a week, call the office manager several times a week, keep up on things that are happening as they happen. I'm going to pass out some stuff shortly that came to me yesterday in a 5-email stream while I was trying to relax at the beach. And so it is a lot more than before I was chairperson, a lot more work. But I just threw it out there in case you wanted to have some more of a hands-on feel while I'm still here. That's all.
Yeah, like I said, I appreciate that, and I'd be happy to do it. You know, if you want to back out slowly, that I totally get that. You know, and I think I could handle it. A couple of days a week, emails. I could probably take care of that. And then having you around would be a benefit because when it came to I'm kind of swamped here. What do? I could give you a call.
I'm not
provided going. You weren't, you know, somewhere other than Cape Cod, I could probably track you down.
Okay. Then I'd make a motion that Tom be the chairperson for next year.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Congratulations.
Okay.
So the transition happens right now. If you go to the agenda, just follow it down.
Yep.
Although I see something that's missing from the agenda right now. Is the open forum?
Public comment.
Okay.
So I guess the next things would be to appoint or elect policy advisory committee members and bylaw committee members.
Well, I'll do one of them.
Yeah, I'll do the other one. I don't care.
I'd be happy to serve on one.
All right. And last year I was bylaws, and Vic handled the policy advisory committee. Do you have a preference for which one you'd like to be involved with? One of them, maybe both of them, will be fairly busy this year with a change in a water commission bylaw, water department bylaw, dealing with the fund that Vic, the capital improvement or capital. I should put my glasses over there so I can read it. Capital stabilization fund, right?
Yes, and he's going to be available to help us with that.
So we're going to get some help on that. That needs to be a change to the bylaw, which is going to require some work to come up with the wording on it and then to bring it to the policy committee and then eventually to the prudential committee and the district.
Okay. All right, so I'll do policy. If you want to do bylaw, Mark?
Sure, I'll do the bylaw.
Do we have a motion?
Okay, well, so I would nominate Don to serve on the Policy Advisory Committee as the member of the Water Department Commission.
And I would second that.
And I accept it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I nominate Mark to be elected as the Bylaw Committee member.
I will second that.
I accept.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, thank you. All right, our next agenda item is public comment. Do we have public comment, and is anyone recording this? Okay, so it's being recorded. Thank you. Cindy.
That should switch right up if you want to.
I have a couple items I'd like to address with the board tonight. Since you mentioned this one, I'd like to address this one first. I'd like to talk about the issue regarding the bylaw and what the committee is planning on doing to recoup the $611,980 that's owed to that fund. Because even if there is a bylaw change to eliminate the fund, it really does need to be addressed because that money is owed to that original bylaw. So I was wondering what you guys plan on doing about that.
So that was $600?
Or no, no.
$600,000. Right, that's what I thought. I've given that a little bit of thought, but I don't know, and perhaps those around me know better, I don't know if there's anything we could do to recoup that because the way the original bylaw was managed, to me that seems like water under the bridge.
Well, it's something I'd like you to look into as a committee.
Yeah.
The bylaw was voted on by the district.
Mm-hmm.
The accounting has been kept annually. It has been reported in the annual report. So it appeared to be being done. It has been registered with the state. So I don't think it's as easy as getting rid of the bylaw and pretending it never happened. So that's something I would like you to look into.
Okay. Well, I don't think we're getting rid of the bylaw. I think he wants to enforce it. He wants to make it. But also, in a pass-by discussion with the treasurer after a district meeting, he made a statement to the effect that all the money we've collected for capital expenses, which this kind of thing could be used for, has been spent towards capital expenses.
And if that's true, he maybe should come up with a report to justify that, but it's something you guys should be aware of and see how it was spent and did it follow the original bylaw, because it should have been in a fund, and there's rules and regulations on how that fund is spent. So it's just something that needs to be looked at, and attending some Prudential Committee meetings, the vibe I got is just to eliminate it.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned about that, so that's why I'm bringing it to your attention.
Well, there was a big discussion at the end of the year about eliminating it, and Vic made a very passionate argument for it,
mm-hmm.
and it was not eliminated. So
okay.
It's still in place.
All right. I guess our intent is to take a look at that bylaw over the next year and try to broaden its scope in terms of funds that will be available to go into the stabilization fund itself.
That would be fine.
And then what it could be spent on, because it was very specific as to what it could be spent on before.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to be addressed and not just swept under the rug. Okay, my next concern is probably not a popular one. Sick time buyback is in the employee handbook. It is a liability to the district that is unfunded. It's a monetary benefit that the employees get. When you went before the district asking for the pay raises, I was a little interested in that, so I did a little of my own research, and I agreed that the hourly rate was lower than the average on the Cape, so I thought, you know, that was no problem. But looking at the other water districts, they don't have sick time buyback, a lot of them, and that is a monetary benefit that now puts our employees at the higher end, where it's an unfunded liability. I'd like you to look at either limiting, like it is on the fire department with our union contract, or eliminating it completely since there's no union contract protecting it. So I just would like to bring that to your attention. And I gave you a copy of the union contract page for the firefighters, where it's limited to 200 days.
It's limited to 200 days for buyback. Thank you.
Chairperson, I have a public comment of my own.
Okay.
Yesterday, while I was trying to spend some time on my wife on the beach, in the period of between, let me see here, 1:20 p.m. and 2:35 p.m., I received five separate emails from either the treasurer, chairperson of the parents' committee, and some intermittent emails through the water department concerning an issue that the treasurer's office is having a problem with. Our office manager called to give a heads up about a singular check that was going to be dealt with tonight because of the for the post office, because we had to go over the
lien list,
mm-hmm. and it couldn't be prepared ahead of time until we okay the lien list. Mm-hmm. This caused an incredible heartache and consternation from the treasurer, with some replies in here which I found very derogatory and unnecessary. And the last email was one that had come from the chairperson of the pension committee, trying to tell us how we should, that we don't have to sign these, even though it's in our bylaws, that we have to certify the warrants, and that we should be able to sign them in between meetings, which I have done, other commissioners have done, anytime I was asked. If there's something that had to be done in a timely fashion that couldn't wait to the next monthly meeting. So I've made copies, so you can have as much fun as I had while I was trying not to think about this stuff. I've also made a copy, had a copy made of the Water Department's bylaw stating that we have to certify the bills and warrants against the district.
Okay.
So we have a copy of that. And the only reason I bring it up in this forum is because it happened yesterday, couldn't be put on the agenda, and I just wanted to be out there so you're aware of it, and hopefully we can, a meeting can be brought forward with the treasurer's office and the prudential committee and our office manager and everyone concerned, so we can get this thing taken care of, because this is not a new instance when we've had some issues with the treasurer's department and them questioning how we do things. I've been here 5 years now, and there hasn't been any problem with the treasurer's office until this last year. And it just seems to be it needs to be paid closer attention to, and so we can get together and all be on the same page. I don't think we're on the same page now. I don't think it's coming from us, but it's irregardless. It's just we have to come together to get the district's business done in an efficient, effective way. And this right here yesterday was ridiculous. That's my public comment.
Yes.
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. I'm not sure what's in those emails, but I would be interested to find out, so I will do that at a later date. But this really didn't have to do with your committee, but since I am aware of it, I would like to make you guys aware of it. I've been having issues with the treasurer, too, not doing his job in a timely manner. We had our district meeting. They used excuses why free cash wasn't available. So I went to the state and learned how I could keep tabs on our free cash being certified. And the free cash wasn't even sent to the state until June 1st to be certified, which is over 6 months or greater late. He was able to certify West Barnstable in a timely fashion, and I find it odd that ours wasn't done either. So I will give you that too.
Thank you. So that's district business, right? Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So we definitely need to be able to address expenses in between meetings.
Right. Right. In the past, they've asked us if we wouldn't mind sending bills in, having me certify them, sending them to them, and we stood here and talked and said, you know what, we'd really like to just follow the bylaw, certify them first, then send them in. We do it every 2 weeks. It's not like that's a problem for anybody. There isn't a vendor out there that deals with a municipality that won't, you know, give you some leeway on how things come in anyways, but they're not going in late. They get them in a timely fashion. It's getting them out of that office if there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, this is certified mail we're talking about right now that we have to send out. That's $5.66 a piece. How many we have? We can't carry that much cash, or we don't have that much cash on petty cash. We don't have an account at the post office. So after you guys vote tonight for the lien list to accept it, that we can send it out, we're not now going to be able to do it till we can get a check after they cut it after Tuesday. Where normally they would have a check for us tomorrow when it goes out. The day after you guys have said, in the letter we put out that says, hey, you guys will be put on the lien list after they vote on it at the meeting, so you have till the meeting to pay for it.
Sure.
So we don't know. So, like, today we had somebody come in and pay it. So, you know, there's one less than there was, I don't know, you know, 2 days ago or a day ago. Each day somebody will come in and pay one off so they don't have to be on the lien list. So these things here, it's just the fact that I believe one of the responses was in there that the assistant shouldn't have to drop what she's doing to write a check for us and out of the time for her on her day on something that could be inconvenient because they thought it would be better if you guys just went down there once or twice a week and signed off on stuff at the fire department or here, which I don't know. I don't believe you could get down to the fire department between the hours of...
Right.
You know, when the treasurer is there, he leaves at 3.
Right. So that I can't do that.
Right. It's not, you guys aren't retired. Well, some of you are. So, I mean, it's a matter that you're a working person. This job doesn't say for retired people only.
Correct. And it's so... So could this be resolved if we had an account with the post office?
Possibly, but he's the one that has to set that up.
He'd have to set that up.
Yeah, he'd have to set it up. And if he was here tonight, like Don asked him, did you ask him?
No, I didn't ask him to come tonight.
Okay, with this meeting, this would be something that would be a resolution to this problem. Could you set up something where you put so much money down and we work off of it or something? Or is there a way to put an account in the post office? For something like this. Jen was talking earlier about putting maybe $500 down, there like we have with petty cash where we are. It's either you increase our petty cash so that we can go down and pay by cash and get it reimbursed,
mm-hmm.
or you open something up there.
Absolutely.
So I have two concerns. The first one being, I don't think the email was thoroughly looked at and that the treasurer understood what I was asking for in the email. I emailed on Monday to the assistant treasurer to give them a heads up that this request was coming, that it's a one-off, last-minute request.
Yep.
And all of the responses that we got back were pretty much geared towards the big warrants, which, as Chris noted, we do every 2 weeks. You guys have come into the office. Vic and Don have been very good about being able to come in, and as with Teddy, I've left it hanging on the back door for them to come sign it. So we're not concerned about the big warrants. I totally get that if they're going to get the warrant on Thursday, they can pay it the next week, and that's fine. There hasn't been a string of late fees, as was referenced in some of those email strings. The bigger concern is these one-off requests, and we have them four times a year for the minimum use bill, the excess use bill, and twice for the lien letters because those are certified mails, and we don't have a final count until the very end, the very last minute. I tried to work with Lisa to make some recommendations or to get some suggestions from them how we should handle this going forward, because we have to find a way to meet this need, whether it's we increase our petty cash. This year I made a lot of phone calls, and I was able to get our list down from 86 people to 40 letters going out. So I saved us over $200 in postage. I got this down to $226 in postage. When our petty cash is full, we have $200 on hand. So the suggestion from the assistant treasurer to take it out of petty cash isn't valid unless they want to increase the amount of petty cash on hand, and I don't know if we want to assume that liability. As Chris mentioned, we could open up a prepaid account with the post office,
right,
where if they have, say, $500 worth of postage available, we come in, we present an invoice against that, get our postage, send out the mailing, and then the treasurer could post that receipt to the expenses. And lastly, I gave them a 3-day heads up. I emailed them on Monday to say I'll need one check on Thursday. I can give them a greater heads up if they need that, but in the past, the assistant treasurer had handwritten a check. They've been advised by the auditors not to do that. So I need to understand better what the hardship is of cutting a check with 3 days' notice. That's all I have to add.
Sure. Thank you. Well, so there are a couple options, it sounds like, to resolve this. It's increase the petty cash or establish the account with the post office. Has the treasurer... have they come up with any other alternatives for this?
The treasurer has not come up. What the alternative is, I guess you have to go back and go over some of these things.
Yeah, I have to look at these emails, right?
I mean,
some of these emails were just addressed in
to
there
me.
To Don.
Yeah.
And so I haven't seen them at all. Don did show me one. So,
okay.
It's the way things were going with the email, it was better if we just stopped talking for a moment and everybody sit back and collect your thoughts, I believe. Because it could have turned into something, and you know, this is, we need a working relationship here. We don't need to be we got to realize who works for who. Or something here. Something's got to give. And somebody sometimes just seems to try to dig their feet in where you don't have to.
Well, it seems like it's clear in our bylaws that we have to sign warrants. We do that.
We have to certify.
Yeah, you have to certify them to be paid, and which is fine because, like I've said before, two sets of eyes are much better than you guys question. You look at my warrant. If you guys see something on there, you're like, whoa, what's this?
Right.
And then you guys can understand what's going on. And you know, I like that. That's how you're watching me.
Yeah. And you know, the last year we questioned a number of things on the warrant, so. Yeah. Have you ever got a question about a warrant from the Prudential Committee?
I do get things now that they want to know if stuff has happened before or after. Are we prepaying for something if we're not allowed to prepay? If the my guys go and buy something, they have to make sure that they send them the receipt, where it comes out of their credit card. There's work behind it. You have to show them a bank statement if it's an ATM card where it's been deducted from your bank account. You can black everything out, but you have to show where that is.
Right.
There's a few things that they have to do that, you know, I understand the auditors come back and ask you for these things, and I can understand some of it. Some of the stuff of the classes like we've had in the past where I have to send my guys to a class to prepare for something, and they tell me they won't pay for it till after the class, and the guy said, well, I can't afford the $800 or $900 for the class. How am I supposed to take the class to pass the test if you're requiring me to do this? So they won't prepay for anything because they said they have a chance of walking out in the middle. So I don't know if a contract has to be written up beforehand saying that if you decide to leave, you'll pay the remainder of it to us, so, or you will reimburse.
I just I'm of the opinion that we need to sit down. I just think face to face, what is the problem? What do we need to do to resolve it? Because clearly, we are going to continue to certify our warrants.
Yes.
Clearly, they have a problem with the way we're doing it. Why, if we need to explain it better, or if we need to find out what they need for these four singular instances a year, then we can find out what it is. But this thing, yesterday, is out of control.
Yes.
It just is ridiculous.
I agree.
Because it shows a whole attitude. And the way some of the wording was put in, I was offended by it.
Okay, so how do you want to move on here? Do you want me to contact Treasurer and ask them to invite them to our next meeting so that we could go through the issue for the four times per year, figure out a way to resolve this?
I think the only way we have to have a meeting is some point in time.
Yeah.
Whether it's our next meeting, whether it's a meeting between now or whatever their meeting, I don't know where the meeting is or when it is, but there has to be some sort of meeting.
Yeah, emails can get a little convoluted for sure.
Yeah.
Correct. If we have a meeting with the treasurer and with the Prudential Committee, it'd have to be a public meeting.
Absolutely.
Right. And
it's public right now.
I almost want to say, I don't know if there should be counsel there, so that anything that's said that we could find out if it is the law. Some of the times that stuff's been quoted to me, I've not been able to find it. I'd like to see it. You know, there's different chapters out there that you can look up anything on the internet, and sometimes anybody can read it, I guess, any way that it's there. Sometimes it'd be vague, sometimes they aren't. So I'd like to, and I know no matter what you might be talking about, Attorney General's office, though, you know, how they would interpret something. But I maybe we can just write stuff down, have it checked out. Maybe not have to pay anybody, be there to see if there's questions after.
Those letters are required to go out at certain dates.
Yes.
Six.
We send out a round one letter, and there's a sample of that in your packet tonight, notifying them that they will be placed on the lien list if their balance is not paid. Round two letter says that we have deemed them to be more than 365 days past due, and that you have agreed to submit them to the town to be applied against real estate taxes. So that will go out after the July meeting. We remove them from our books in August, and they are applied to the tax bills in October.
I guess I'm the new guy, but is this a mechanical issue or a policy issue?
It sounds to me like a mechanical issue that's been turned into a policy issue.
Well, right. Just like I said before, for the first 4 years being on this board, we had zero
problems. No problems.
Zero. This last year, we've had problems with the changing of the payroll at the to the first of the fiscal year, and trying to incorporate a raise properly that went on for, 6 to 8 weeks, and people got their nose bent, you know, on both sides because it wasn't working out right, that we had a bill that was really not one of our bills that was paid against our account without us even knowing about it. We didn't get a bill. It was for a certification of some kind?
Yeah. It was something that wasn't sent to us. It was sent to somebody else. And they paid it without it being certified, taking it out and said, we're taking it out of your account.
And it comes to a fact that it didn't need to be paid. We get the same thing for no dollars. So there's problems here that we've never had before. And I don't know whether they're personality. I have no idea. But I just think we need to get something going here because we're wasting a lot of time and energy doing this stuff when we should be doing the district's business. You know, it's annoying to me.
When's the next Prudential Committee meeting?
Monday? I believe. No?
Thursday after the annual meeting.
So it's next Thursday.
Can we get on their agenda to come up to address this issue, just to talk about certification of warrant?
He's at that meeting. They're there. It'd be something to talk about.
Right?
Yeah.
And then maybe we can get it done in a timely fashion so that we can do it before the next set of lien letters need to go out.
What time does our meeting start?
About 5 o'clock. Oh, I thought it was 5:30. I could be wrong. It'll be 5 o'clock. Cindy will tell us.
Phone's gonna die. We can look at that and try to get on the next agenda.
Right.
Get on their agenda.
So we. Just so that we can discuss a clear process by which we can pay for postage and so that we're all on the same page with respect to certifying warrants.
Yeah.
Just for those two things.
Yeah, basically, right? We just want to go over, you know, all we want to do is let everybody just get along. I don't want to have to fight for things or you have somebody go off when a simple request of, hey, just trying to give you a heads up, and go into a barrage of different things.
It's not like we're asking them for more money. It's
right.
Money
no, we're just asking for what we usually do. We got the account. We have the money. You know, it's just getting the check out.
Amy. Five o'clock, you said?
5 o'clock, Thursday the 28th.
It's fishing day. Okay. Who contacts them? Is that me?
Yeah, if you
can you do that?
Actually,
request that we have an item on the agenda to deal with the four annual payments for postage and certifying warrants.
She's a great tool to use to do stuff like that.
Thank you.
So I think that will be every once in a while.
You think that that's the best way to go?
I think it is.
You know, cooler heads tend to prevail when you're sitting across the table from somebody. You can figure out this is not a big thing. This is not a policy issue. This is just mechanics.
Okay.
Good with that?
Yeah. That was public comment.
So that was public comment. Right?
A little bit more than public comment.
That's good. Well, that's good stuff. Thank you for bringing those up. Thank you. Minutes. Everybody get a copy of the minutes?
This is the official minutes sign. You have to sign that right there. Okay.
For the minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark can't vote on the minutes. He was here, but he wasn't part of the.
But he wasn't part.
Correct.
I took a look at them already.
I did too. So I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes as presented from 5/16/18.
Do you have the original?
I get the original.
Oh, okay.
I have to sign it.
Okay, because it's your name. I was going to say, you want me to cross you off there?
So I need a second.
So I'll second that. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Should I play a song while you do it? Last one.
All right, so we have some warrants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've got to buy some stamps.
I have some warrants here.
So we'll sign all three of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So typically, you just kind of go through them, see if you're familiar with what's been going on, how much money's spent where. They look good.
Some of those are self-explanatory. You got any questions, just ask.
How's the chemical safety upgrade going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We just that's the second pay request they have in there. We'll discuss that a little. I think we have it up in the minutes here coming up. I got it in my
report.
Probably
in your report.
I have it in my report.
Yep.
Well, you get to sign the top now, Tom.
Oh, boy. Cool.
Are you two there? Did you sign two of them?
Yeah, I did.
And this is one and two, the first two for the new year. Payroll. That should be for the certified letters that we just talked
That's
about.
That's the postage right there.
Yep. That's all right.
They like them in a certain order. So you'll be the bottom line.
It's not
the end of the world.
Low man on the totem pole.
Right.
We've all been there.
So this is the leanness.
Thank you.
is filed in the Registry of Deeds or just with the tax collector? Would have to be a lot more to be in the Registry of Deeds, probably.
One more time.
It's 2,000 if he's in the payroll thing.
Yep.
That is reflected on the new raises, and she has sent that over for them to
check.
See
check.
That this is what we're sending, so look at it now.
This here?
Yeah.
Happy?
Yeah.
Happy?
Are the boys happy?
Brian's not happy, but he's never happy. Oh, sorry, I forgot I was up to you.
He may surprise you.
So, Mark, there's an interesting thing about the liens. Which I learned when I first got here is some people do not pay purposely. Until it goes through this process and gets on their taxes, then they can deduct it from there. You understand? So it's a.
Then they deduct it from what?
Their income tax.
From their income tax?
Yeah. Taxes are deductible.
It's a purposeful thing. So.
You know how you can pay your tax bill? You can take on the short one? We've sent it in, and you have to pay it on the taxes. The hospital takes it out in the tax bill. You add it onto your taxes. So some people, I'll just pay it on my taxes when it comes out.
Yeah.
And I'll use it to write off my house, and I'll get it for nothing. I'll use it as a write-off.
Yeah, right. Huh. I didn't know that.
What's not advertised?
Okay, that it for warrants?
Good? Yes. Warrants.
Water quality report.
Water quality. Well, I told you about the raw water total cold foam
that
we had that was okay.
Yeah.
That happened in the month of May. But see, they're in June now. Our first scent was clear, no problems. We had our tank cleaned. I don't know if you know. Well,
it's not
in there. If you drive by, you see that it was nice and clean. Yeah.
Looking good.
Yeah. Down at Santuit. That was cleaned. They used the hydrant underneath it with a power washer. We've been flushing and a couple different things. And I don't know about temperature change at all, but we got a total cold foam hit yesterday from the Santuit tank. Nothing else. No place else in town, just the Santuit tank. So we had to go back this morning, take a repeat sample of an upstream and a downstream. We're hoping it was just a fluke thing from what was going on. We did have a residual in there of one, a 0.1, excuse me. And we went back today. There's still a residual there of 0.1, but the upstream and the downstream have residual of 0.2 and 0.3. So the water coming into it is got a lot of, you got chlorine in it and everything. So I don't know if something got shooken up over there when they were power washing it. It was, you know, or something just with the water going back and forth, you know, turning it off and on, causing a little bit of a water hammer there and everything might loosen something up. But I think that it'll clear right up. We'll find out. I'll let you know as soon as I know.
So it was water in the tank.
Yep.
That got a hit. So stored water.
It's the stored water, yeah. We have to test it in the dumping mode. So once everything shuts down and it starts coming down.
Yep.
We turn on the sample tap over there. We have to make sure nothing's running, and we sample the water coming out of the tank.
Okay.
For it actually to be, I would say, out of the tank itself, that would have to run that little 3/4-inch tap that we have there, a 1/2-inch tap, would have to run for half a day for all that water. You know, the water has to be coming down and make the representation of the tank in the dropping mode, I guess we'll say. So you got to let it go for a good 10, 15 minutes. They flushed it off. They did it. I don't know how much into the bowl got down. It might be something in the stem going up. So I hate to say it, but you know, this time of year with everything that's going on, it could be a particle of something busted off the side, and it's not even bacteria. You know, it could be anything in the water right now that was noticed that could cause bacteria. So we're hoping.
So help me out with the test. Is it not a cultured test where you cultivate the stuff for 24 hours?
They do. They're still doing the little dish, the petri dish,
yeah,
and everything right now, as far as I know. They put it out. Nothing's growing. It's not E. coli.
Okay.
So it's just coliform bacteria. It's something there they're saying that could have the potential to grow bacteria.
Right. But they didn't grow it.
Right. It didn't grow anything. So, but it does. It could have the potential.
Yes. Yeah.
They can't tell you what it is. It could be a good bacteria. It could be you know, a particle or something. It could be anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
What's the test that gives them the hit for the potential?
It's going to be some kind of, it's a colony of something that they can see that's a dots or something,
yeah,
to the effect. I'd have to
totally
sit down
cold
and ask.
For.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who does the test?
But other than that, everything else has come clean. We did get our nitrates back for four of our stations, not all five, because station one is still out of water. So those came back nice. We did get our SOCs for station four. Excuse me. Three or four. One of them. I think it's four. Yes, because it had the pond next to it. Schoolhouse pond. And because it's there, they make us still do it. And it came back fine. So we're doing all right now. It's just that,
except for that
pesky coliform every once in a while this time of year.
Chris, where are the tests done? In the county?
Barnstable County, yeah.
And then the next day, was it? You did upstream, downstream?
Today, yeah. This morning we did.
And
we got notified about 3:30 yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I said I'd get in the morning. So we went out and did the retests.
Right.
And as soon as that comes back, I'll notify DEP.
So we don't have those results yet.
No, we won't have them. I'll let you know as soon as those come in, how they came in. They usually is a 24-hour test on them.
Right. Yeah.
24-48. Taken on Monday. She noticed it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be interesting. Hopefully there's nothing upstream or downstream.
Right. So it's tough to figure out where it's coming from. And maybe it's right inside the tank, they're saying. That's why I was thinking it might have something to do with the power washing or something like that. And that we're good.
Okay. When that occurs, do you increase chlorine at all? Is there any protocol there?
If we notice that it is there, that's what the next step will be, increasing the chlorine coming in a little more.
Yeah.
Putting a heavier dose in and see if that stops whatever's there. It could be flushing.
Yeah.
You know, there's different ways to get rid of it. Sometimes it's flushing, sometimes it's increasing chlorine. It might be worth, we've already flushed that area, so it shouldn't be too much sediment there, but we flushed it 3 weeks ago through there, I'd say.
When was that tank filled? Has that tank been filled since the upgrades on the SCADA system? Like,
yeah, it's been sold.
It's had water.
Yeah, we haven't emptied that. It was West Street we had to empty,
okay,
to do some work.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, keep us informed.
Yeah, it could be with the, sure. Even, yeah, I mean, it's filling and closing a lot more too right now,
mm-hmm,
than it has been in the past.
Mm-hmm. Is that it for water quality?
Yeah, I'll give you the superintendent's report.
Yeah.
Huh.
list if I go over them with it. I don't know if that's for me on the superintendent's report or for you guys, but we'll go over that while I'm at it. Okay, in May of 2017, we pumped $17,908,000. In May of 2018, we pumped $16,522,000, for a difference of 1,386,000 gallons, less than last year. As I said, Station 1's been off still, and we didn't stop flushing until the 10th, and we're not flushing as hard as we did last year, too. We're going more by what it takes to empty a main and how long, you know, to, what levels we need to get to do it. Instead of going out at 2,000 gallons a minute, we might go up to 600, 700, something like that. So that seems to be right on as far as I can see right now.
It's pretty close to last year's
compared to what
the previous months.
Yeah.
We've been
and
had a huge deficit.
And I can tell you right now,
you're pumping.
I've seen it. Boom, all of a sudden. As soon as I told them they could go ahead and shut two down and everything else, a couple days before it came back on, all of a sudden, boom, all the sprinklers in town came on. Water started going, and as soon as I come in, every light's on. Time to run, time to run. And I could, as soon as we started getting any hot weather, everybody's turned their sprinkler system on. So we're right back to full use right now.
Good.
Yeah. We did have one new water service actually put in down in Pincootsie Cove. It's actually an outbuilding that somebody built, but it's a new one. We didn't have any replacement services. We did have actually one leak in the sideline over on Queen Anne Road. Let's see. Now, I can hear the handbook updates. I got an email today after talking to Attorney Pierce, we gave the handbook to look at. He said he sent me an email 3 days ago. I never got it. I went through. He said he was going to send it to me last night. I never got one this morning. So this afternoon I sent him a letter, an email saying, still haven't received anything from you. Within probably 5 minutes, he sent something back. Sorry about that. He says, I'll send it on this. I don't know what happened, why we didn't get it. But basically his comments, and I'll have to just zip it up, is that he agrees with what Warren Rutherford had put out. Some of these laws that are there have to do with if we have over six people. You know, it's up to us if we want to adopt them, but we don't have to. Another one is if we have over 11 employees, which I believe is the earned sick time, but because the district has adopted it, we'll have to have it in there anyways. So there is some stuff. I'll just buckle up a few more of it with him, but basically he said he agrees with Warren's inserts, and we can go from there. I haven't had a chance to talk to him personally, but I did today. I talked to him yesterday. So I will just talk to him real quick and say, hey, he asked me if I had any concerns other than what he wrote up, and I only have really one that I want to ask him about, and that's, I believe we figured it out by just putting except what's public record on there. One of the things is you can't give out a person's employment, rate of pay and this and that. So I have to just verify with him that because we're a public entity and everything's there anyways.
Yeah, it's part of the public.
Yeah. So I'll talk to him a little bit about that, but we should be good. Tower North. They have put the road in. Basically, they've cut all the stumps out. They've got everything there. It's cleared. They're going to be putting a pole in and running electricity pretty soon. Right now, there's just a machine down there waiting. So they're going right with schedule. Everything seems to be going pretty smoothly with them.
And we got payment from them, right?
What's that?
We got some money from them?
They did give us some money, yep.
So the I wasn't quite sure what the answer was when, isn't there two of the vendors got combined?
Yeah.
Sprint and whatever it is.
Yeah, they are.
Right now we're supposed to have three
yeah.
entities on there. And the way the pay schedule is there's a certain rate for those three. If an additional one comes on, a
right.
fourth one, it's a whole different setup.
Correct.
So the question was, if two of them combined to be one entity.
Yeah. I don't think that...
If an additional one comes in...
Did Rick ever give us an answer on that?
No.
Yeah.
Isn't it flat? Wasn't it a flat rental fee to Tower North for three, and if there was another
location.
One?
It's three locations we get paid for, I think. Now, I don't know if AT&T and T-Mobile are combining. If they're going to keep those same antennas up to keep their same coverage, then that's no problem.
Gotcha.
They have to put a fourth one up there. That'll be different. But I don't. If they all of a sudden increase the size of them or just drop a set of them and say, hey, now we're only two, you know, locations, I'm not positive. But I do think that because it was signed with the three, we'll always be paid for three. But if a new one comes on, do we not get any extras? We wonder, basically.
Right. So that's the way I understood it, too.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if you combine businesses and you're down to two or one unit, then you're still paying for three.
Right. But, that, yeah, two or one, I think they're still paying. But if it's, what we're saying is if Verizon jumps on there, are we only getting paid for three still and nothing's changing? Or are we going to get that certain percentage where he said if a fourth person comes on,
yeah.
we get a certain percentage? So we just got to check on that and back that, see what was written into the contract with him on that. I did tell you we started flushing. We might have to extend it a little bit here if we want to finish it. We will have to extend it if we want to finish it because we're not going to finish in a week. So... Look at that. 428 Main Street, the shed. Still there.
Yeah.
There's a guy out the other day marking some boundaries over there again. I think he might be getting some new septic. There's a machine there. I thought he was moving the shed. But I think it was a guy that was over there marking out to do something for the septic. Talk to Mark Boudreau.
Good.
That is Michael Creedon that was there. It is not, he thought it was Judge Creedon. It isn't Judge Creedon, it's his son. Who, he seems to think the best approach would be to talk to, he's doing a case with his cousin. And they're supposed to be playing in a golf tournament this weekend. So he's bringing the plot plan and going to give it to him and talk to him and said that he feels as though that he's one of those guys that would he'd much rather hear it from his cousin and talk to him rather than if we start pushing stuff, he might say, I'll pay the fines and just leave it there. He felt that it was a better approach to try to sneak it in on a golf tournament.
This was Mark who said that?
Yeah.
The, that's what he wants to try to do. I'm okay with that. But at the end of the day, it's not a question of whether I'll pay a fine and leave it there. Even though the shed may not have anything in it right now, anything can be put in at any given time.
Right.
And it's in a place that can affect the groundwater. So we have some stake in this.
Right. Right. And it shouldn't be on a property.
Should be our price. Should be, was it a 15-foot setback there even?
Yeah. So, without the town of Oswego doesn't want to do a thing about it.
Did somebody talk to the town, to the building commission?
Don went to the town, talked to the town.
And they said, yeah, we don't mess with sheds.
A guy from the town called me. Said, you got a shed on your property. He says, I can go after you for building a shed without a permit. He says, you take care of it. He says, get your lawyer involved in it. I don't want anything to do with it, basically.
When I went there, initially the girl at the desk said, you know, this sounds like a matter between two people. You need to see that. Take care of yourselves. But then she looked up on the Google picture, and the one they have of that property didn't have a shed on it. So it was relatively new we put on there, which got her to go back and talk to someone way back in the room. They said I filled out a form and they were going to go look into it, but there was, you know, they're busy and they'll get to it when they get to it, and they did. And it is on our property. And this is such a simple thing. I don't know why people won't just, geez, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Just move it, we'll be okay and be history.
Have you talked to the landowner?
I haven't talked to the gentleman there since the day I walked in and told him it was on our property.
Yeah.
And he said, no, it isn't. And I said, yeah, it is. He goes, no, I own two over there. I said, no, you only own here. I said, that's our property. He says, them flags over there, those are where I own. I said, no, that's where they did the lead testing here. And they dropped a flag, I said, to make sure that there was no lead paint in the ground. Oh. So I said, for one thing, you've got to get your goats off of here.
Right.
Then you've got to move your shed.
Goats.
Yeah.
It's the goats.
Yeah, so he had the goats out there eating the poison ivy.
Poison ivy goats.
Yeah. Clearing the land. Killed the trees. They ate the bark up the tree so far, too.
This started August last year.
Yeah. So, at this point, when's this golf tournament?
This week. Yeah.
Seems like an odd conversation at a golf
tournament. Just to me, too. Hey, cuz, how you doing?
So you have an intermediary who thinks this might be useful. It takes a week.
At least it already takes a time.
But I tend to think that nothing's going to happen. you've given him a long time.
Yeah.
Has he gotten written notifications to
him? Yep.
And he's ignoring those. Has he gotten a legal letter yet? Drawn a letterhead from our lawyer?
He had received a letter from us ourselves. Yeah. I don't believe he has got anything from a lawyer yet.
I would write almost the same letter and put it on Mark Boudreau's letterhead with a copy of the survey sketch.
He hired the surveyor to go over there. The guy called me and said, he's hired me to do the work. He said, but, you know, the weather permitting, I haven't been able to get over there. Sorry. Finally, he got in there, and he came back, and he goes, he's aware of it now. I've sent him the stuff. He knows it's going to do it. He says he'll take care of it when he gets down this summer. And guarantees there's nothing that's going to hurt anything in there. Now he's been here, and he's still not doing anything.
To me, it's not even what's in the shed. It's just, it's an encroachment. I
mean, yeah.
As anybody wouldn't want somebody building on their property. it's a bad precedent.
Right.
So see what happens at the golf tournament, and then I would have Boudreau write him a letter.
I'll keep on Mark all month and see what's going on. If it doesn't look like it's progressing at all, I'll ask him to draft up a letter.
I mean,
do we have the plot plan where it shows that
there is a plot plan?
Yep.
That's useful to include.
Oh yeah, it sounds
like it's not just our opinion; it's the surveyor who said so.
Here's the plot plan from
your
surveyor and friend. Yeah.
And then eventually Boudreau can figure out how to put a lien in the registry of deeds.
Okay.
So, I mean, we do this all the time in my business, and we try to keep a lot of sheds off of conservation land, and you escalate. And it sounds like you've been trying verbal. We're going to try a golf tournament, and we'll try a letter, and then we'll try a lawyer's letter, and then, you know, end up with a lien. I drove by there. I didn't get out. I just turned my head. I saw cinder blocks. It's just sitting on cinder blocks. It's not a slab.
No.
So
it 10 guys could lift that shed and put it somewhere else.
That's what I said. They could put 2x4s underneath it, going across a 2x8 or something. They just had a backhoe there. Some forks underneath there or something. They could have picked that thing up and moved it over anywhere.
People would do anything to keep stuff out to the edge.
Yeah.
And go over the edge.
Oh. And the last thing I have on here is I am going to be sending out before the next meeting and telling the guy to go ahead and mark those boundaries on the backside of Mariner Circle.
Yep.
Just to let you know, if anybody calls you up and says, I see people running around the woods again over here. Why are they doing this? It's because we're going to be marking those boundaries on the backside of Mariner Circle.
And we're going to...
so you can get some encroachment going on there. There's some asphalt shingles that have been dumped in there behind one of the guys' houses.
Bigger and bigger and bigger.
Some people are clearing land and putting trailers up there. I don't know if that's for neighbors, I mean for guests. But one of them that does that, that has something close to that, is one of the guys who was here complaining about all the animals coming out. So I'd like to see exactly how far back his stuff is, because he looks awful close to me.
So there were no concrete bounds put when those lots were built?
I don't think there were. I think there might be actually some concrete bounds where we have an easement that runs through there, a utility easement that runs, like if you went down Anchor Lane and just kept going straight into the woods and not stopping, there's a fence there now, but we have an easement through there. The guy could still, I talked to Mark at the time when he wanted to put a fence up to the corner, and said, you know, we got an easement there, we got to be able to get through there. He says, you can still get there anytime you want, I'm just putting a fence across it. So you got to take the fence down when you go through. You need to go through there, you need it for something.
Well, I mean...
That's what Mark said, hey, he says, that's still his property, you just have an easement.
Right.
He says, he can still put his fence up to that... hit that property line, but if you're going to take a truck through there, you can drive right through that fence.
Now, we talked about sending letters to all the...
that's what we want to do first, just to send something out.
Tell them that we're going to be surveying
about this.
There.
Yeah, we're going to go...
Even, or whatever it is.
It's easy to get an abutters list for that line on property lookup through the town of Barnstable. Boom, 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 pops it right up usually with a mailing list, just if the mailing list is up to date.
So you're having the bounds set by our surveyor.
What's that?
You're having the bounds set.
We're just going to have it. They're not going to be set. They're actually just going to be identified, I think, basically. I don't know if they're going to be actually putting in stone. We just asked them to mark the, you know, tag it going through. We didn't ask them to set anything at the time. Stake it, I guess.
That stone would be more of a permit, so we don't have to do it again 30 years from now. I don't know how much more it costs.
If you're having an issue with encroachments and nobody has officially set some steel spikes or concrete bounds, then it's hard to complain about people encroaching, because even though they should know, they don't. But if we establish the line legally with a surveyor, put in at least steel spikes, they're cheaper than concrete bounds. Then we have a much better leg to stand on when we find encroachments that we want to deal with before or after.
Okay. I'll talk to the guy about how much it would be to add it.
Steel spikes, it's a piece of rebar, basically, with a surveyor's cap on it. It's not expensive. But if it's set by a surveyor and we can keep them in the ground, it's...
You got to keep them in the ground?
Well, you got to try.
Yeah.
And we can
then post some signs as well. Mm-hmm. Once we have that established, if we know what the boundary is,
be a lot easier. Yeah.
Something that I'd like to work on in my tenure here is just a management plan for the property itself, the big property, and the other ones as well. But and identifying some of these other issues that are going on, as I've just talked about in public with the ATVs and whatnot. It does. I mean, it's, you know, it's a sacred area for drinking water.
Yeah.
Whether people are nibbling around the periphery or driving internal combustions through the woods, it's all part of it.
Yeah, and that's something that could go into the bylaw, because that's really what we were talking about, and what Vic wanted to see was a more concrete, comprehensive management plan for how to protect that sacredly.
And it's...
You manage it by the forestry and all that stuff.
Yeah. Make sure it's healthy. Manage it.
Yeah.
So, I think that's good. That's one of your priorities.
No, it's something that I have a little bit of expertise in professionally. So.
All right, that is my report, so.
All right.
We'll go to old business.
Old business.
I'm back.
Safety upgrade project.
Station 5 was turned on today. Everything's been checked. It's turned on. It's using the new pumps, the new tank, new alarms, new everything. They're down at Station 1. They've just finished the repiping, I believe, yesterday down there. They had a little bit of problem matching everything up to the grade that was there and everything. But they have, hopefully Tuesday, the well cleaners back in there to pump off the chlorine that's in the well and take a couple tests to make sure everything's clean coming out of there to by the standards. We have to let it flush all the chlorine out, take a sample, let it run for 30 more minutes, take another sample, and then bring them out to the lab. They've got to be clean before we can activate it into the system. So once that happens, we can start putting within so long they can convert one over, then they'll start going to two, to four, down to three. They'll keep going one at a time. But everything's, you know, they took the one with the most room and did that one first to learn off of.
Good. Any questions on that?
No. It's
cost of services?
Cost of service, they have been given all information that they needed. Jen's been a workhorse on it. They're still waiting on some information from the treasurer. He talked to him yesterday. He told him he'd have it to him today, according to Ryan. But he's trying to get some of the finances there and explaining how what they need for money and stuff. So once he gets that, things will be a little better and they can get back to us on it. But we have done everything they've asked for us to keep moving forward.
Now I see, is it holding up progress because of... Because I know the treasurer was on me wanting to know why he hasn't been contacted.
Oh, no, they've had a meeting with him. They sat down, they went to his office, they talked to him, they told him what they needed. And I suppose that he sent them some stuff, but they haven't said what they're waiting on, but they're still waiting on stuff from him. I'm not sure if there was confusion. If he says, you know, he has to take money out of some things and put monies into another, so to get exactly what he spends is not really that easy. He has to work a couple things. I'm not really sure. That's how Ryan was trying to explain it to me today. He said, well, maybe, hopefully he got everything to you today.
Well, he personally and the Prudential are anxious to get this project to a point where we can start having something to work with, and I hope he's not...
Well, we're trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I really have on that right now. They're still trying.
So our office's work is done, and we're waiting for other powers to be. And Tata and Howard's moving forward.
Yeah.
They've been active, right?
Jen put some wonderful graphs in here for you guys to look at too if you get the chance.
For what? Oh, I saw those.
Not just
for water use.
For fun.
Yeah.
Because she likes to make things interesting.
Yeah, I like those.
We need colors.
Huh? Color printers, then?
Yeah. You're expensive color ink, is.
You kind of need a warrant. anything on the forestry capital improvement plan at this point?
We got an email from Vic. I don't know if you guys all got it. Both got it. He says he'll do anything he can to help out.
Yep.
To keep moving things forward and everything else. I know he's not in right now. I think he actually went to Pennsylvania. But He said, to anything you need, just if Mark wants some help with anything with it or anything, talk to him about how far they are, what he has. We can give him what Rick gave us and include him in on anything.
Yeah.
Could you send me his contact info? Thanks.
I know that I had talked to Vic, expressed he thought it would be best to get something going this summer, not actually make progress, but get information transferred and bring you up to date, Mark. Because
I'll meet with him.
Yeah, and he's a great interest in this, and I think everything's going to dovetail really well with between him giving you the information and your interest in that.
My schedule is, I can't take new things on until late July at this point, but I'll make sure I contact him then.
Yeah. He can tell you the person that came down from the state that did a survey, that went out and walked the woods, identified stuff, came up with some suggestions, and there's a couple of people that came and made presentations to us.
Yeah, Phil Benjamin was the forester that did it. Nice guy, great guy. Yeah, great guy. I actually, there was some funds from the state available last year that I contacted him on to see if he thought we should try to go for it or anything, and he never really got back to me on it. I don't know if things got too busy at the time or he didn't feel as though we should try to go for it at the time, but I told him to keep his eye out, let me know if anything comes up, because you know, we'd love to jump upon it if we could. Could be something, but I don't know, then again, if it's something we have to establish this capital fund first before we want to do it.
To me, it seems like that might be the way to go, because we really don't have a management plan. We have some prescriptions from a forester for removing some lumber from the sites, but no real long-term management plan with specific objectives.
You know, there's little stuff, you know, getting rid of some of the evasive stuff and everything.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who we get to do anything. We can't use any kind of. I thought about the goats. You know, yeah. Seriously, along the water department there, that whole old cranberry bog on the side, there wasn't so much water in there now. You know, if you fence that up and let some goats go in there, some of that evasive stuff wouldn't come back. That's in there. There's a lot of stuff that shouldn't be.
It's really hard. Even with the goats, they fed on the vineyard. He said, "Looks great," and then you got to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Because the seed bank is too dense and strong.
But yeah, I think we need to keep our eyes on any grant opportunities and see what we can do with the existing forestry plan that we have. Right.
Maybe I'll get you a copy. I think I did give Tom a copy.
Yeah.
I have an electronic copy.
Yeah.
So maybe if I can find it, I'll send it to you. I think I got it.
Jenkinson.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll get my girl.
Have your people contact Mike.
Hey.
All right. There you go. Thank you.
That's better.
That's much better.
Nice. These graphs, right? I don't know if you guys want to look at these real quick. This is something that I think Vic asked for as well.
Yes.
Right? Just to kind of get an idea as to how we're doing in terms of overall water use over the years, looking back 10 years at a specific month and also as our annual usage. Interesting. You know, we're definitely doing better conserving water, and we're having a wetter year, so you know, maybe as our climate becomes wetter, we're going to see less pumpage. But I'll go back to what I said last time we met, is we have a lot of homes that are vacant throughout the winter, and that, I think that's growing. I think we have more and more people that are spending time away, and that. When you get an average water use of like 300 gallons a person per day, I can add up.
Yeah.
Pretty quick.
I remember walking beach past Oregon in the winter 2 years ago. And a guy had a broken sprinkler head in his backyard. It had popped up, and it was sprinkling in the winter. And I know the house was unoccupied all winter. I don't know how long it ran.
So he never turned it off and never blew it up?
Yeah, never shut it off. It's probably,
so that was 2017?
It only came on when that popped open. It was only on for 2 hours a day or something like that. That's why no one ever noticed about it. Every time, I had a guy, I think I told this story, and I'll do it real fast because I know some people get upset to tell too many stories. Somebody's on vacation. So I had a woman call me and say I couldn't use that much water. And we went through her sprinkler system and turned it on. Her husband had died the year before. And down by the road, we had two heads that were right up. As soon as it turned on and ran for 20 minutes, two and a half inches, had water straight up into the air and coming down on the road. And then she had a couple in the backyard, and I was like, well, there's your water use.
Right.
Your sprinkler system never gets shut off when you never get drained. You walked over one like that, so that now when you turned it on, the water's just shooting out there every single time. It comes on at 4 o'clock in the morning. Nobody knows about it. It's been going for a year now.
What about the woman last year when I first came on that that said her ovary was too high?
It was.
Right? And it was too high, and we put a valve on it, a meter on it, and metered it for a while.
We're still metering it. Yeah, yeah. It's getting to be just about time to go out there and look at it again. She's back. You know, went all winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. We still got that meter on there.
Okay. Well, it's interesting, and thank you for making these.
Is there anything else you'd like to see other than
okay. But I know that for this cost of service thing, this is the kind of stuff they're looking at.
Yeah.
They have to go over and have a 10-year average to see what the highs and lows are, because it is like a pendulum. It goes back and forth.
It's really related more to other things than population growth. We're not seeing the population growth that we saw 30 years ago.
No.
So it's really more related to weather.
Yes, absolutely. 2015 was a very, 16 was a very hot summer. Last year was a lot cooler and wetter, and this year is
even wetter.
Yeah.
It's been even wetter, at least, and everything all winter. It's just ridiculous.
So.
Yeah, all the ponds are still high.
Yeah.
Any other old business? New business. 2018 lien list.
Yes, we have a lien list here.
There it is.
Yes. You guys glance at that, and you have to vote on accepting it or just review it? Vote on accept. Yeah, agreed to send out the letters for it.
And that is not paid by the one.
This is different than the one we just signed.
What we signed was for the postage to send these letters out.
Yeah, this is just this is just the people that are on it. Tells how much it is, and that you guys have looked at it and said how many are here, basically, that you agree.
Now, the 671 names.
The passage just reviewed it now. You don't really have to.
So the 671 Main Street here with all those units back there, are they selling those things now or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Some of those might.
Because a lien would affect them right away.
Correct.
Yeah.
They've sold two or three?
The lien, this isn't going to lien. These are the letters going to say you're going to be going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so to them, that would be a real threat, though.
Right. So I
So what is the motion you need from us?
Just that you have reviewed
it, and that if they are not paid by July 9th, you can
okay.
Usually you just review it at this point.
I think there's a sample letter here, I think.
Yep.
A motion to follow the guidelines as
presented in a sample letter and send them to the other folks.
Don't pay your electric bill to shut your electric off. They won't shut your water off. Is that true?
We don't. That's some of the enforcement. We eventually pay for it because it's not the tax rate. We don't
pay
the taxes on the property.
Okay. So if we're going to make a motion, I'd make a motion that acknowledge that we reviewed the list of accounts that currently have a balance of more than 1 year past due, and that if they're not paid by July, by the next meeting, they will be sent to the town tax collector.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
So there's one thing, for history's sake, we used to, when we got this before, it was a long piece of paper like this. There was 3 pages thick at a carbon copy, and we had to sign it. Yeah, it was...
each piece of paper on the bottom.
Yeah. It was a funny thing to see. Who uses carbon paper?
All right. Thanks for that, Jeff. Brought us into the 21st century. Okay. Any other business besides setting the next meeting date? Anybody have anything else?
Well, I've been delinquent and wanted to get together with Chris and Jen just to see what other documents I should be having, since I don't have any except this and some minutes. I've heard of the Water Department handbook. I've heard of an employee's handbook. I've heard of a bylaw. I don't know if they're all part of the same thing, but it would be good, since you've had some major turnover in this committee, to have like a notebook of all the organic materials that can be given to new commissioners. I'm speaking for myself. I'm speaking for future commissioners that are coming in cold, something like this. And I think that one of the things to work on slowly, and there's no urgency to it, but to have that as a three-ring binder that you can hand to new commissioners so they have a little bit of extra reading and know what at least the documents are, even if they haven't read them all yet. And again, it's on me because I haven't made that appointment yet. But I think it would be nice to do for the newbies. They have a set of the governing documents is basically what I'm saying. We do that at some of our nonprofit groups when new people come on the board, and it's useful. They still have to learn by doing, but at least they have it.
Yeah.
I'll call it the binder of welcome.
Yeah.
There
you
go. All right.
There you go. Call it whatever you want, but that sounds good.
B-O-W, bow.
But as I said, I'm
B-O-W,
bow.
I'm particularly busy right now, and I can't even ask for an appointment until late July. This is my state grant writing period for all the conservation groups that I do. So I'm working on 6 state grants right now.
Okay.
So I'm not putting anything new on my plate.
Right. I don't want it.
Well, we do have to put one more thing on your plate, and that's the next meeting. And we've been meeting the third
Wednesday
of the month at 6, and that works for me. I don't know if it works for you.
Unfortunately, this is the exact day I'm supposed to be in Mashpee for a meeting every third Wednesday at 7.
Okay.
So I'm already late. I told them I'd be late. And
what about if the meeting moves up early?
It could be 5:30 would help.
Again, what I said before, we'll try to make it flexible for the board this meeting at the time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm flexible in when I can get out of work because I'm the boss, but if it's to remain this day, I would appreciate 5:30 instead of 6.
5:30 early enough?
It should be. I mean, I see most of your meetings don't go more than 2 hours.
Right.
No, they don't.
And yeah, then the Mashpee meeting is just a little bit more. So.
Does that work?
Works for me.
That would be the 18th?
Yeah.
At 5:30?
Awesome.
I would entertain motions to adjourn.
Can I ask just a second too? I just want to welcome Mark to the
Absolutely.
To the board. Very happy you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, and congratulations to you.
Is that going to be a permanent thing, 5:30?
Let's try to do that.
I mean, it's...
We post right now that that's when it is. I don't know if that's something we have to vote on, if you're going to change the times, because we'll have to advertise that someplace, I believe. Right now, it's... No?
It's usually just... You have to post the meeting 48 hours.
Yeah, we try to keep every, they meet every Wednesday, so it's someplace all the time anyways, so I didn't know.
We can publish that on the CPR, but I can put in.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have been flexible over time if people can't.
It's different. That's what I'm just saying. If we're going to make it permanent that way, it would be nice.
I'll see if another group can meet at a different time.
Make a motion to... go home.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Nice to the former chair, too.
Yes, thank you.
Now I'm going to run.
I hated to dump all that crap on you after I said.
Yeah.
But,
I might not be as kind as you about looking at emails.
I don't
look at emails that often. I just tell them.
I'm on vacation. Oh, that's nice. I said, I don't want to read this shit. Just stop it.
Yeah. Did he listen?
He didn't send anymore.
Yeah.
Amy? I know.